No other like you. Hallelujah. No one else is worthy. None so holy, none so righteous. None as true or loving and kind as you, Lord. You came and sought us out. Hallelujah. You came and found us, Lord. Glory to God. You came to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are the best. Hallelujah. There's no one that compares with you. There's none like you. There's none like him. He is Lord. He is Master. He is King, and he rules supreme. There's no one like Jesus. Nobody can do me like Jesus can. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus can take the hardest heart, make it soft. He's the only one. I can point you in the right direction, but you've got to turn to him. Men can point you in the right direction, but there's no one like Jesus. He is the Savior. He's the healer. He's the one that does the work. Amen. Glory to God. We've got a good Father that loves us. He came searching for us, for he desired a family. So good to be part of his family. Amen. How many is glad you're born again tonight? You have to be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. You have to be born into the family of God. Hallelujah. You don't get there by joining the church. You don't get there by trying to be good enough. Only by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're grateful, Father. That makes it equal for all. See, we're all equal at the cross. Glory to God. We receive a nature from him. That nature is birthed from within. Hallelujah. Birthed of our own Father. Glory to God. We can now know him. Praise God. Praise God. And anybody that comes to him, he said, I won't cast out. Amen. If you're tired of the way you've been living, you know, sin's fun for a season, but it gets tiring after a while. People get weary. But Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor, though you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. When you're born again, there's a new, you're a new species of being, not the same as we were. Glory to God. Been given a righteousness that comes from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Everybody's trying, you know, some of these religions, religion tries to help people get right with God. Well, you need to get right, you know, do this and do that. And God said, I give it to you freely if you'll believe. Based upon faith alone. Amen. By his grace, through that faith. Hallelujah. By believing upon it. Anyway, it's so good to be born again. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 tonight for a moment. I want to just look at a couple of verses there. There's a while back I talked about, you know, this is the year we're selling out. And it's kind of what the Lord's been saying lately, how to sell out, right? We talked Sunday morning about praying in tongues a lot and about how the Holy Spirit's our helper, our friend, our teacher, our guide. He's the one that comes alongside and helps us. Hallelujah, to walk with God, to know him. Because how many know the Word of God is God speaking to you and to me? The Word of God is God speaking to us. And sometimes we get carried away with trying to find and hear God's Word, his specific Word to us, when he's given us a whole book of words that we need to be doing. And when we're doing his Word, we are following him. That's the number one way he's going to start speaking to us, is in our inner witness and with his word. So we need to get his word in our heart and in our mind, or in our mind and in our heart, either way. Hallelujah. We put it into our minds and it gets into our heart, and that becomes a living, it's alive. It's full of power, able to discern between the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Between what is soul, what is flesh, what is spirit, what is of God, what's not of God, his word. is able to give us something other than our natural mind so that we can live our lives by it. When we become doers of it, we prosper. Hallelujah. And the thing whereunto it was sent. If you meditate on healing scriptures, you're going to get healing. Amen. Meditate on it long enough, it'll drive every trace of weakness out of your body. Glory to God. That's good news. Meditate on how to prosper. Money will eventually come. It will come. The reason I say that is because sometimes the things that hinder those, that, maybe a healing, maybe it's unforgiveness or even in prosperity, maybe it's the love of money. Well, I've got the love of money. Well, that's a problem with God. He said we're not to love money. He said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, all evil. It doesn't mean money's bad. He said the gold and silver are mine, says the Lord. It's good. It's what it's used for. It's not really good or bad. I mean, money's not good or bad. It's how it's used. Depends on whose hands it's in. I don't know why I'm on, glory to God, I'm on money for a minute. I think it was Gary who said, did you have to say it that way? I didn't need to say it that way. It just came out that way. I guess God said it that way. Sometimes we don't realize our motivation until we're tested. Amen. We need to keep seeking Him and allow Him to purify everything, because at a pure heart from Him, when we know Him, when we walk with Him, there's a purity that comes because God is holy. See, God is holy. He can't walk with sin, period. It's kind of like a lot of people. You see people that have problems in the flesh and the devil tempts them in certain areas. There's strongholds, maybe they've got alcoholism. They're not totally possessed, but they're oppressed. They can't get over it. It affects their life in a lot of ways, but they can still kind of function. Some people are that way with God. They just got a little bit of the Holy Ghost working in their life, and He kind of helps them, but they're going from crisis to crisis, and everything's, always up in the air, and they're trying to serve God a little bit, But when we get a hold of Him, when we are fervent in spirit, the Bible says. And that's my first scripture I was going to read tonight. Romans chapter 12. I'm in the wrong chapter. One over. Verse 10. Let's read 10 and 11. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. One translation said, be on fire with the Spirit of God. Or have a fervency with God. Let the Holy Spirit of God burn in you. Gary preached a message about being filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues. It says, cloven tongues as of fire fell on them. There was a fire that came with it, a purging that God brings. When the Holy Spirit comes and when we give ourselves to Him, that purging continues to take place in our lives, that we would be a fervent person, a person that's sincere and excited about the things of God. And I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about some of the things that we might need to be continuing talking about. I talked about it the last time, but being sold out to Him. First of all, a fervent person, I want to look at Acts chapter 6, should be able to be recognizable. It should be recognizable. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help us tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So here we see they're saying, well, I want you to look out there. Look among the people that are here. We need to get the widows taken care of. So the disciples had a little meeting. They said, we need some men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes how many people know somebody could be full of the Holy Ghost, but maybe they haven't been fully purged of everything else and they're dishonest. At least they received the Holy Ghost and they would say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but they're still halfway full of their self. Like I said earlier, sometimes you see a person that, you know, maybe in their life, maybe they're an alcoholic. They can't get out of that, but the rest of their life seems to be in order. Somehow they're functioning, but they still got that problem. You see, they're not possessed by the devil. Those people usually aren't in the insane asylum. They're strapped down to the table, you know, and they can't control themselves. but they are affected by him. The enemy's trying to destroy their life, and he's got a stronghold in that area of their life. But sometimes people let the Holy Spirit see we can yield over to Him and we are to submit our lives to God and to yield to Him to the place where He has full control. See, a lot of times we get into the church and we give God some control, you know. What's that? What's the song? Some to Jesus I surrender, you know. It's supposed to be all to Jesus. You know, everybody says, all to Jesus I surrender. But really our heart is, Lord, I'm giving you this, except for the weekends I go out. I have to go boating on this weekend. You can't have that. You know, and I was kind of thinking about that when I first started praying. I thought, well, I'm back here by this back wall praying and minding my own business and just praying in the Spirit. And the Lord said, you know, I'm putting my quote-unquote time in with God. And it is, in other words, it's not that He's not interested in my time, but I was going to put this time in with God and see the rest of the time, that's yours, right? But that's not what He said. He said, I'm not interested in your time. He said, I'm interested in your life. And He said to me, He said, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. You're giving your life to me. In other words, we're giving Him permission to take control over every single area, every little part of us. And as we continue to mature in Him, obviously it should be able to be recognizable. It says here, honest report, someone full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I mean, know somebody, maybe they're full of the Holy Ghost, maybe they got an honest report, but they don't have much wisdom. You know, there's no wisdom yet. Sometimes wisdom comes with a little bit with experience, right? Sometimes there needs to be some experience in life. You know, there's some wisdom that you just stumble along. You know, you get to certain places in life and you realize, wow, you know, when a guy's 19, he knows everything. When he's 25, dad knows everything. You know, his father didn't know much at 19. Oh, well, my dad's a good guy, but he just doesn't know. He doesn't understand. You know, amazing, when he hit 25, suddenly mom and dad knew a lot. Man, I guess he wasn't so dumb after all. You know, by the time he's 30, dad's a genius, you know. He was right after all. But our Father is always right because He is the God of truth, the God of life, the God of love. But here it's saying it could be recognizable was my point. To be full of the Holy, you know, to have an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He says, look out for them. So you should be able to see people that are full of the Holy Ghost, that have an honest report, that are full of wisdom. Amen? Because they're what? Fervent in spirit. We'd see them hungering for God. See, the most important thing is if a person, not the call of God in their life, that's important. It's not the gifts and abilities that qualify you, but are you hungering for God? See, sometimes people hunger for ministry because they want to be seen or they want the money that it'll give them. That hasn't worked for me yet. No. It will, hallelujah. God's my provider, not the ministry. You know, and the ministry can't fulfill your social desire. Maybe they want to be accepted, look good in the church and feel accepted. I feel like I'm doing something for God if I'm in the ministry. And I'm not just talking about preaching, but whatever it is. You know, maybe it's a, you know, they work real hard because they want to feel good. They feel like all their hard labor. And I'm not saying, you know, God sees your labor of love. He sees that and He honors it. But it's the motivation of the heart. What's driving it? Is it a love for God? See, when you have love toward God and we have a fervency toward God and we are fervent in spirit, then those things come out of that relationship with Him. See, that's something that I've always tried to strive for. I said, Lord, I don't want to just be somebody that knows the Bible. We have to also apply it to our life. See, if we don't apply it to our lives, then what good is reading the Bible? How does that apply to me? Am I being thankful? You know, what are some ways we do that? We talk about praying in tongues, but this is, you know, being fervent in spirit. But sometimes we're caught up in the natural world. The Bible says not to get so entangled in this world that we don't have time for God. How many know the enemy's good? He works hard. He works overtime to try to draw you into things that take you away from seeking Him. He gets you busy, sometimes even in ministry. Doing things. Not that we don't need to help people. We need to have a love for people. But we need to listen and follow and do as He says. Because there's a fullness of the Holy Ghost. There's a wisdom. There's that place in Him where we are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're sold out. So. And that's God's plan. He wants us to maintain that fullness. And in this church, we know how to do that. It's been taught over and over. Praying in the Spirit, right? Meditating the Word of God. Confession. What else? Fasting. Oh, God. Worship. You know, that's the one. You hit fasting, everybody just kind of looks at you. What do you mean by that? I mean by not eating food. Is that plain enough? Turn your plate over one more time. Well, I fast other things. That's good. We should. We should fast other things, but maybe permanently. Some things God just wants out of your life completely. You know, wrong friends, you know, not good. You know. How many, you know the guy that calls you and can you know, distract you every time, you know, or the gal, you know. Let's go shopping. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I was going to spend time with God, you know. And there's nothing wrong with shopping, you know. I'm not saying that, but you might have to ask him, say, where's your prayer time? What's your prayer time? Let's see if we can get on the same schedule. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it is. But anyway. Hallelujah. And we were looking last week. I want to go to Ephesians 5. I'm just talking about this fullness. There's a maintaining of that fullness. That fullness is maintained by us fellowshipping with the Father. Us spending time in His presence. In that worship. If we're not worshiping Him, then why were we born again? To give Him glory, right? To bring Him praise and honor, to be His sons and daughters. He's the one that brought it. And we have to have a thankful heart in everything we're doing. It says, the Bible says, whatever we do in word or deed, giving glory to God the Father, giving Him glory. Whatever you do, whatever we do. You know, so if you're doing something that's not giving Him glory, then maybe you shouldn't do that. You know, I mean, I say that lovingly, but sometimes I tell people, well, if you can do it to the glory of God, go do it. You know, but personally, I can't drink to the glory of God. I don't drink alcohol. I said, well, don't you sometimes? No, I don't sometimes. I don't party on the weekend, you know. I don't go get drunk once in a while just to feel good. I've never been drunk. Don't plan on getting drunk other than on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's something that he said. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. You can, you know, you go getting drunk, you're really, it's somewhat of a mockery of God. Mocking God, you know, because he wants to fill you to overflowing. I mean, why would you get drunk on wine when you get drunk on him? He said, he'll come. He said, I'm not going to withhold anything from you. He said, if you'll worship me, what do you say? My praises, he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits those praises. He said, I'll come. And we got to make a decision. Yeah, but that's so hard. No, it's not. It's not any harder than driving to the bar, you know, and then waking up with a hangover. It's a lot easier. You might wake up with a praise. Hallelujah. Wake up with an answer. Wake up with a difference in your soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And anyway, Ephesians 5. I get off. I'm on drinking tonight, I guess. Hallelujah. We want to do some drinking, Lord. We want to drink of you. Hallelujah. Let's start with verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. We talked about speaking the last time. Mainly speaking in tongues. And speaking to yourselves, it says here in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I told you last time, sometimes I come home and I'll sing a song. And my wife said, well, where'd you learn that song? Well, I didn't learn that song. It came up from my heart. Hallelujah. And sometimes they'll just come up out of your heart. And if you keep doing it, they'll just keep on coming. Amen. Get the hold of the Word of God. You know? I'm not going to sing tonight. Don't worry. No. but you don't have to sing. You know, it's a song in your heart to the Lord. It may have a little melody to it. It may not. It may have a rhyme to it. It may not. It may be poetic to some degree. Hallelujah. But God says there's things we can give, those spiritual songs to Him. Where do they come from? They come from us meditating His Word and from spending time in His presence because He is good. Where do you think David got some of them? The Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. He said it over and over, for the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Came up out of the heart. The heart that was what? Consecrated to God. The heart that was sold out to Him. Hallelujah. Can be recognizable. But this is how you maintain that glow. By speaking to yourself and to God. We talked about speaking in tongues. Praying in other tongues. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, where are you building yourself up? Above that sensual realm. What I feel, what I smell, what I taste, what I touch. How my emotions are trying to treat me. I'm building myself up above those things to where my spirit is in the ascendancy and I love God. And God begins to draw you in and you enter in more and more into Him. Because He loves you. And He's got a plan and He so wants it to come to pass, He'll help you. Hallelujah, He sent the Holy Ghost. But speaking to ourselves, hallelujah, giving thanks, let's see, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that song? In my heart there rings a melody. There's a hymn like that. There rings a melody of love. Hallelujah. It's a love for Him. See, when we're in His presence is the fullness of joy. See, joy is not necessarily the happiness of the circumstance. But joy is knowing it's going to be all right. It's a faith that's in there. So there's joy and peace in believing. When we believe, there's a joy and a peace that comes because we know in whom we believed, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed to Him against that day. He's going to answer me because He is faithful. Faithful as He has promised, who also will do it. That's our Father. He's not a man that He should lie. Hallelujah. Nor the Son of Man that He'd repent. But has He not spoken it, and shall He not bring it to pass? Hallelujah. There's a melody that comes because I know in whom I believed. Glory to God. See, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's going to bring us through. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And so giving, so the first thing, speaking to ourselves in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Glory to God. And I sing. Sometimes I do sing. I don't sing up here. But I sing with the congregation and try to blend in. And I sing in my own private time. I talk to the Lord. Sing to Him a new song. Sometimes I'll sing in the Spirit for a while. You know, sing in the Holy Ghost. As Paul said that you can, he said, I will pray in the Spirit. He said, I'll also sing in the Spirit. He said, why do you sing in the Spirit? Because it begins to bring a bubbling, a joy that's there. It stirs my spirit up. It builds me up on my most holy faith so that I'm not downcast. Psalmist said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, my mind's on God. It's bringing Him up so that I'm more aware of Him. My spirit's being strengthened that there's a joy and not a depression, not an oppression from the enemy. Run him off. He doesn't like the praises of God's people. Amen. We let the melody rise up within. Hallelujah. And we talked about this the last time. It says the next verse says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, thanksgiving to God, just being thankful. You know how far that goes today? You know, I remember I went to a bank one time, and the president of the bank was a Christian. And they said, well, how come your bank, you know, what makes it seems like it's a pretty good, every bank he went to became a success. He would just, it would just flourish, you know, and they would increase, they get more customers and have more money. And he said, well, all of my tellers are required every day. I make them get on the telephone and call 5 or 10 customers and say, thank you for banking at our bank. Thank you for coming in today. It was great to serve you. It was a pleasure. Thank you. A simple thank you increased their business. Sometimes a simple thank you will increase your favor on your job. Or being kind. You know, just saying thank you. Somebody gives you something, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. The Bible says in the last days it'll be an unthankful generation. Unholy and unthankful people. But we want to be of those that are thankful to our Father. Amen. Thank you, Father, I'm saved. Thank you, Father, for saving me, Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus for me, Lord. Thank you for purchasing me. Thank you for making me your child. See, it's nothing. It's not about the spectacular things, but it's about the true things. The truth is, I've been born again. I've got a Father that saved me, that loved me, that purchased me. I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Him. He's the greatest. He's the best. When I get my mind on Him, our thanksgiving helps us keep our mind on Him. It's another mark of being filled with the Spirit. See, they were looking for some men. These are men of honest report. They got some wisdom. They're full of the Spirit. Well, what do you mean full of the Spirit? They're thankful. They have some fervency about them. They're seeking God. They're praying. They're not just holding back. And they're doing it out of a heart of love. They're serving out of love. Because God is love, and they're doing it out of a relationship with the Father. See, when you serve out of a relationship with the Father, you minister out of a relationship with the Father, whatever that ministry is, then you're not going to burn out. You're burning in. Because it comes from within. See, Dave talks about burning in. Because it's based upon a relationship with the Father. And your gifts are not coming forth. You're not trying to get this gift that God gave you to happen. See, those gifts alone don't qualify a person. But it's a hungering after Him. It's knowing Him. There's people that I know that are way more gifted than me. And they do, you know, to an extent, they might be seen. They might have a great big ministry. But to the Father, who are they? He said, you know, there's some that will cast out demons in your name, Lord. The last day, He said, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't really know you. Well, maybe they built a ministry. Didn't say they wouldn't build it. He says, he that builds the house, you know, he that builds the house labors in vain that builds it. Unless the Lord build the house. He that builds a house labors in vain. Doesn't mean he wouldn't build it, but he labored in vain. He got it on the wrong, would they say, wrong tower? You know, put the ladder on the wrong building, you know. Went up 30 stories and they found out it's leaning on the wrong building. It's sad, it really is. I hurt for some people when they don't know God, you know. They got big responsibility and they built something and they have to have X number of dollars so they're, you know, they have to do something to keep their ministry running because they built it. But when God builds the house, hallelujah, it's not in vain, but it's blessed. What He says is blessed. What He gives you to do will prosper. Hallelujah. Just keep doing it. It will make an impact. It is changing things. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. But it'll happen in anybody's life that will take a hold of God. We need to be fervent in spirit. It can be seen. It should be seen. Makes a difference in our lives. But thanksgiving was one of those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, giving thanks always. You know, where did you know it's one of the things He said? Give thanks. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the marks of being full of the Spirit, being thankful. We give a lot of praise and worship and thanksgiving. Amen. Coming up on Thanksgiving, aren't we? Wow. How about that? Guess I'm right on time. Praise God. Anyway, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to Him. Are we thankful for what we have? We're thankful we have the truth. See, when you become thankful, you don't run away from it. You embrace it because it becomes more real to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what I do have. Or are you coveting what you don't have? Wanting something that, you know, a lot of the world and even a lot of the church world are desiring things they don't have. I wish God would use me. He will. If you seek Him. So if you seek Him with all your heart, He'll be found. You find Him. See, God doesn't want a people that doesn't want Him. Really. You know, I mean, He made us, and He wants us. I'm not saying that. He purchased us. He loves us. And He desires us. But He also desires us to want Him. And that's something that we can give Him. That's really pretty much the only thing that we can give him is our life and our worship, our thanksgiving. You know, I have to ask myself sometimes, am I really thankful, Lord? My wife knows, you know, sometimes I'll cry almost, you know. Thank you, Father, for the food I have, you know. For what you have given me. You know, I think my mother's, her favorite picture was there's a man there and he has a bowl of soup and a little cracker. But he's bowing his head to give thanks. Thank you, Father, for what I do have. Not what I don't have. But we thank him for the things that he's going to bring. See, thanksgiving also allows us and opens us up to him where he can give more. He said, he that has will be given more. Remember the one that used his talent wisely of the 10 talents. He said he's going to get more. Why? Because he's open to God. He was wise. He had the Holy Spirit apparently upon him. You know, the man that was in fear and buried his talent, you know, didn't do anything. You know, he had that talent, he didn't do anything with it. That's not showing much thanksgiving, is it? Showing a lot of, well, I got this one, you know, I just thought I'd bury it in the ground for you, brother. I know you gave it to me to invest and try to make it better, but here's the one I had. You lazy servant. God didn't mix any words, did he? He just says it. You know, you're being lazy. But if we'll take out the things that he has given us, things that we can do, and allow that thanksgiving, one of the traits of someone that's filled with the Spirit and helps us maintain that fullness, giving thanks, not grumbling and complaining about things. Oh, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for every time I've grumbled or complained. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Anybody ever grumbled or complained? Maybe you didn't say it out loud, but it was in your heart. You know? Sometimes we don't think God hears our heart, but he does. You know, we're trying to, it's kind of like the fig leaves, you know, we just don't say it out loud, but you know. You know, God, really we're trying to hide from him, but we don't say that. All right, let's move on. What's the next verse, Lord? Let's see. 21. Ephesians 5:21 says, so we're going to be thankful always for all things, verse 20, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're to remain teachable. Somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit is going to remain teachable. They're going to remain willing to submit one to another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. In the fear of God. In other words, under God. Lord, your will be done. I don't want my will. You know? We've got to submit one to another in the fear of God. In love. Nobody says, well, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I can submit one to another until, you know, that's all great. You know, some people, you know, that's all wonderful as long as you're submitting to me. See? As long as you're submitting to what I want. You know. Churches are full of people. They, you know, they all have a board, you know, because they don't want the pastor to rule everything. But if you have that board, I promise you, there'll be one person normally that comes to the head and they kind of control everything. Because everybody else kind of does whatever they say. That's usually what happens. You know? Not that I'm saying there shouldn't be checks and balances. There should be. You know, we're all submitted to God. But if we submit one to another, then you don't have that problem, right? Because no man has to have that control. See, people get into the ministry for all kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons. All sorts of things. Sometimes they want control, they want money, they want fame, they want to feel good about themselves. You know, they want to be just, you know, I'm somebody. You know, I don't know what, you know, to me that doesn't appeal, because I'm here to please God. I want to say what He says. Or at least we're trying to. Hallelujah. We're doing our best to yield to Him what He's saying. He's saying be sold out to Him. He's saying these are the things. When you sell out to Me, these are some traits of a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's thankful. He's not trying to push His agenda on you. I know people that would say, well, I'm called to correct all the churches. No, you're not. You're not. You know, I want to come and correct the church. Well, I can make your church, you know, this is my special truth I got, and God wants me to come and tell your church. Well, probably not. You know, I'm not saying we're not open, you know. You write it down, let us, you know, see what God says, but no. You know, why isn't He telling me if I'm seeking Him? You know, well, He should be telling you, brother, you're just not hearing God. I doubt it. Not likely. I don't know why I got on that, but, you know, we're not there to be the critic. See, having a critical spirit isn't having a thankful spirit, is it? You know, when we're constantly criticizing everything. See, one thing that I've learned, I said, Lord, if I'm not doing it, you know, if I'm really not doing it, other than if I see it in the Word, why do I have to criticize it? I didn't start it. You know, I'm not in charge of it, so I can't change it. You know, it's not my responsibility. But people think it's their responsibility to say, well, this is wrong in the church, or that's wrong in the church. You know, the church I go to should do it this way or that way. Well, if it's not contrary to the Word of God, you know, you're not really and you're not really in charge of that. You know, whoever started that's in charge of that. They're responsible to God to answer to Him. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for some things. You can pray. Believe God that they're following Him. Now, if somebody's way off and they're in bad doctrine, then leave that church. Don't get in there. You know, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He's your teacher. He's your helper. You'll know. But one little thing, you know, just because you don't like the color of the carpet, you know, this is something to get upset about, right? Or because they're in your chair. We can't have revival. Well, you can have my chair. Because I want people to get saved. I want lives to change. I'll stand or I'll be outside. I'll wait for you. I may not even be here. Be somewhere else having revival. Hallelujah. Along with you. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. We're getting ready. Amen. We're selling out. Anyway, I'm a lot on Thanksgiving tonight. Anyway. But submit. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Now, that doesn't mean if he, you know, if she's not submitting, you can smack her around. That's wrong. Submission is when, see, everybody says it's easy to submit. But see, you are not in submission if I'm in agreement. If I'm in agreement with the church, I agree with what the Lord's doing here. So I'm in submission in the sense that I'm in agreement, but I'm not really in submission. Submission comes when I don't agree with what's going on, but I submit to what the Lord is doing, whether I personally think it's right or not. You see, when I go to work, my boss is the boss. And there's some things he may do it one way and he may want me to do it that way. As long as it's not against the Word of God and it's not sin, then I should do it that way. Even if I don't think it should be done that way. Because I'm submitting to his authority. See, a lot of people didn't like the way Moses did things. You know, it didn't turn out so good for them. I mean, they're in that day, it's judgment now. Moses says, "You don't. You, are you on my side or are you on the other side? those that are with me, get over here, and you better be on his side, because the other side, the earth opened up and they were swallowed up. They were gone. They were destroyed. See, there's a safety in submitting to God and submitting to those in authority over you. And in Acts chapter 4, it says that when they had trouble, they came to their own company. See, when trouble comes, get with your own company. Get in your own home church, the people that know you, that will pray for you and pray with you and strengthen you. There's a strength and a submission to God and to where He has put you. See, it's not really submitting to a person. We're submitting to God. But if that person is the one that God put over them, they said, Moses, who put you in charge? Well, God did. God put him in charge. You know, we could say, well, who put you in charge? Pastor this the church? Or any church? Well, God put him in charge. And if he didn't, well, they're still in charge. They're the one in authority. They're the one that God has placed there. Or to think about it. You know, I'm not saying if it's against the Word of God. I'm not talking about doctrine that's wrong. But there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily doctrine in a church. You know, people want to make a big stink over. You know? Well, I know one church I went to for a while, and the pastor was trying to get a little bit more time for the morning service, so we decided, well, we'll stop. We're going to cut the greeting time down a little bit, maybe 5 minutes, you know, instead of 10. Well, it was like you had just turned the world upside down. It got really serious. And I know that sounds crazy, but I mean, when people just get born again, they're still, you know, growing, but they're immature in the Lord, yielding to the flesh, and got all upset because the pastor changed one small thing in a service. And I know it seems like a small thing, but I'm just sharing that because it had nothing to do with the doctrine or the teaching wasn't wrong. They even said, oh, you're a great preacher, but this right here, you know. What are you doing? You know, I think he took it from 60 people to 120 in 6 months. Church went from 60 people to 120, and they said, what are you doing to our church? Well, I thought you wanted to grow. Well, we do, but not like this. You know, they were losing. See, what's happening, sometimes people are losing control. And they want to control something. See, we have to check our heart's motive. Are you in ministry for control? Are you in ministry to be exalted or look good or feel good about yourself? Are you doing what you're doing because you love God? See, when we do it out of that love for the Father, it'll last forever. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I got on a lot of different things tonight. I don't think any of that's on my notes. No. I didn't make that many, but hallelujah. Praise God. So we're submitting one to another in the fear of God. And so we're talking about that fellowship with God. There's a boldness that comes in knowing Him because you have a confidence. So you know Him. Daniel 11:32 says, they that know their God, the people who know their God, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:32. Let's go real quick. I want to read one other passage and we'll, I think I'm winding down. Acts chapter 4. But if we're filled with the Spirit, it should be recognizable. And we can maintain that fullness with the speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praying in other tongues, thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, and submitting to Him. You know, James 4, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's 4:7. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, sometimes people say, oh, I resist the devil, he flees from me. He says, no, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. When we submit to God, then we resist the devil. If you're not submitted to God, you're not going to be very good at resisting the devil. You said, well, how come he's not fleeing? Because you didn't submit yourself to God. Well, what do you mean submit to God? Give way. Give in to his way. Let him have his way. Well, he's been dealing with me. Yeah, I know. For 20 years, like Gary says, to take that typing class. I still haven't taken it. Or whatever class it is. Maybe it's going to accounting. Maybe it's, you know, anything. And one guy, he said, you know, the Lord spoke to him about taking a different job where he's going to have to do some teaching in a different area and teach on safety and other things. And he says, well, I don't want to do that kind of job, you know. But you see, he submits. You submit to that. Why? Why did you have me do this, Lord? I mean, what do you want me to do that for? Well, there's going to be teaching in your future. Oh, okay. He might tell you why. He might not. He might tell you he wants you to fast. I resisted the devil and it didn't seem like anything's working for me. Did you submit to what he said? How he said he wants you to do it. Acts chapter 4, that's where I was going when I... Acts 4. Let's read 13, I think. Yeah, let's start with 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I would say that's recognizable, wouldn't you? In other words, they realized these aren't men of great learning, they're fishermen. But they marveled that they'd been with Jesus. We need to see some more marveling, amen? I've been thinking about that word. You know, in John, I think it's 5:20, where they marveled at the things that they saw Jesus do. There was a marveling. We want people to be able to marvel at the things that God does through us, amen? How many think some people are going to marvel when somebody gets a new leg, new arm, new body parts of some kind? Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, he was an amputee and God put a new leg on him. I like what Dave says sometimes. Wouldn't that be nice if he just put a spirit leg on him, you know? He walks around, you know, he's up off the ground and people are like, whoa, you know? How can he walk? I walk in the spirit, you know? Anyway, hallelujah. Anyway, glory to God. Okay, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned. They didn't have a whole lot of learning. So if you don't have a whole lot of education, you think you're in the bottom of the class, there's hope for you. If you're at the top of the class, there's hope for you. Because God's still higher yet. Amen. Hallelujah. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't know a lot of things. They marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Glory to God. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Lord, how many want to see some miracles like that? Amen. We're talking about selling out. Staying filled with the Holy Ghost. Said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. Let's go down to the... So they're threatening them. They said, don't speak anymore in this name. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and read. It's only a few verses. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Where'd they see and hear them? They saw and heard them with Jesus, which you and I can still see and hear them. Amen? Right here in these pages of the Word of God, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, He'll help you to see them, to imagine them, to see it with your mind's eye. Anyway, for we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So then, when they had further threatened them, I don't know what else they said. If you do that, we're going to cut your tongue out, maybe. I don't know. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Hallelujah. If you've been having a problem for a long time, there's hope for you. Glory to God. And being let go, verse 23, says, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Well, they got in the spirit. It was on them. They got into trouble. They got put in prison, or they got threatened. So they says, hey, we're going to, they let them go. They threaten them. She said, let's go find some people to help us. Let's go down to that prayer center and pray. Hallelujah. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Help us not to do that again. No, they didn't. He said, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Notice they didn't get upset. They didn't angry. They didn't call fire down on the people that threatened them. But they began to give thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. I said, Father, we thank you. We know in whom we believe. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now these are the same people here that were there on the day of Pentecost. They were filled, I thought. You see, you can be filled, but there's other fillings. Hallelujah. How many know you can get refilled? Amen. Just going into His presence. See, they went into God's presence. They went into the Father and became thankful. Said, Lord, grant them with all boldness. You see, I think it's going to be a great day when the place is shaken. You know, we're getting a little shaking in Oklahoma, amen? We've had some earthquakes, right? Some other things. But when God shakes it, it's going to be shaken. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to shake, those things that these are the last days. He said, that which remains. We know we're going to remain because we're in Him, right? Hallelujah. But that which can be shaken will be shaken. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost comes and gives a boldness. So we see that it is something that's recognizable. They recognize that they'd been with Jesus. What do you think Peter and John had been doing? Probably were at the hour of prayer. Hallelujah. How many's going to be at the hour of prayer tonight? Some of you will. Church will be open till Saturday at 6. If you need somewhere to come pray, come pray. I know some of you have prayer closet at home, but sometimes it's good to get away and Get amongst other people that are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can maintain that spirit-filled life through prayer, through the obedience to God in His Word, taking His Word, saying, Lord, I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to become thankful. I'm going to offer thanksgiving to you, Lord. I'm going to submit to your way, to what you want. Hallelujah. To what He's put in, what you put in my heart, Lord. I want to sell out to you. I want to give my all, Lord. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to have a wrong motive. I want to have a right motive. I want my motive to be because I love you, because I'm seeking you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, when you hunger for God, you're not going to turn the wrong way. He's not going to lead you wrong. The Holy Spirit is going to be there to guide you. He's going to help you. You're not going to get off. You don't have to be afraid. Well, I might miss it. I might get into that error. No. If you keep praying, if you keep seeking Him, He said that He'll be found. He said, I'm going to guide you. Hallelujah. Well, so-and-so got off. When I know that. That doesn't mean you will. You know, somewhere along the line, they quit seeking God. They quit putting God first place. You know, they didn't have a daily fellowship with Him. See, Jesus said, take up your cross, not weekly, but daily, every day. Every day, 365 days a year. That's how you stay filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Daily. And it didn't happen overnight. Isaiah 28:10, line upon line, precept by precept. Here a little, there a little. Holy Ghost will take you in where they will marvel and realize, perceive that you've been with Him. It's the first place He calls us to, is to be with Him. You know, Mark, I think it's Mark 3. He said He called His disciples that they might be with Him. It's so good to be with God. So good to be with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing like being with Him. Yeah, He's with us, but you can choose to be with Him. Hallelujah. We can choose to be with Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up for a minute. Let's just lift our hands and say, Father, you know, we just want to, I'm just going to pray and we just worship you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can be with you, Lord. That we can maintain that glow of your Spirit. That we can be filled with your Spirit. But we can maintain a fullness, Father, to overflowing. And we can continue to pursue you, Lord, until men will marvel that we have been with you. That you, Lord, have given us keys to enter in, Lord. And that that fullness can be recognizable by those about us, Lord. Because we want to be of those that are thankful and holy generation, Father. We want to have the right motives, Father, and be sold out to you completely in every area of our life, Father. Where we hold nothing back. Lord, we don't want to hold any little area back, Father. We want you to purge us of all with your holy fire. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much. Thank you for drawing us into your presence. Thank you for letting us choose you, Lord, just like you chose us. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah, that you made it possible for all men to know you. We're grateful, Father. We honor you and worship you, Lord. Father, I thank you for grace upon your people as we hunger for you. As we thirst for you, Lord. Lord, there's places in this world, Father, that are dry. People are hungry to know you. Father, we want to be so filled, Lord. So filled with you, Lord. And Father, we'll be that fresh water for them. That you can pour out your glory through us, Father. And touch men. Draw us, Father. We hunger for you, Lord. We thirst for you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to ever stop and be satisfied. Lord, we're content with what we have, but we don't want to be satisfied, Father. We're not satisfied till we see your fullness, Father. All that you are, all that you have, Father, we love you. Lord, we consecrate our hearts afresh and anew today, Lord. We just commit ourselves to you, Lord, to seek you, to know you. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the truths that you've given us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Not our will, Father, but your will be done. Oh, God. The enemy's good, Father. He tries to draw us away. We're not ignorant of his devices, Father. We trust you. We trust you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Man, thank you, Father. Not just 60-fold, Father, but 100-fold. Thank you, Father. All the way, Father. We receive from you, Father. We know it is by your grace, by your power. Lord, we want to give all the glory to you, Jesus. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord give us all grace to continue to press. Amen. They'll marvel that we've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.